Welcome to the Strategy Session Podcast, where ASI's editors provide tips and tactics to help promotional product professionals improve their businesses. In every episode, we go one-on-one with a business strategy expert to gather winning insights. The conversations are sure to be insightful and entertaining.
Today, we welcome Dawn Hudson to our podcast. Dawn is the Chief Marketing Officer for the National Football League, and she will be the keynote speaker at the upcoming ASI Power Summit in Miami this November. Dawn, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great this morning.
Great.
Calling in from sunny California.
Beautiful. Great spot to be. Philly, the weather's pretty nice here today as well, so we'll take it both ways. Dawn, let's talk about your first 20 or so months on the job with the NFL. The league seems to be as popular as ever, and yet there have been some real controversies over players and domestic violence, certainly questions about concussions and the NFL's response to brain injuries. How do you think you've done in your role so far with the league?
Well, you know, I think we've made good progress. We are a league that always seeks to try to do things better, so I will never say we're where we need to be.
Right.
I think we have, made a difference on the domestic violence front. I think we are and will be making a difference in contact sports player safety. But I also think we're getting back to what the game is about, the fun, the thrill of the game, the fans, the players, and a little bit away from the business of the NFL. You know, fans love the game. It is great entertainment, ultimate escape. It's fun. You can never predict necessarily what's going to happen. And that's our marketing focus.
Let's talk a little bit about that, fan experience. When you look ahead to 2016, 2017, what's in store for fans? What should people be looking out for?
Well, I think let's talk about fans through two lenses. First, there's the fan experience at home. And I think one of the reasons that live TV today is really about sports, because people won't want to miss the action. So they tune in live, where everything else, you know, they're going to get on their time, on their schedule when they want to watch it. But when it comes to sports, sports is a social event. Even if you're sitting there alone, you'll tend to be on some kind of a device talking or tweeting rooting with some other member, some other place in the country or the world. So it's social. It brings people together. And so we're looking for how can the broadcast be even more engaging and interesting to our consumers? How do we tell more stories about what some of the players are doing? Tell stories about what's going on in that town, whatever town the game is being held in. And then how do we connect what's going on the screen to, if you use any one of our social feeds or you're in one of our apps, you get a complimentary experience, not the same content, not the same experience. And if you're on something like Snapchat, you get it in a shorter period of time than if perhaps you're on Facebook. So it's really about customizing the experience and allowing the fan to customize the experience as they're watching a game, typically in a social setting. Now, from a gaming... Sorry, you want to ask questions?
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say then the fan experience in the actual stadium itself. And there's been such strides made and will continue to be made on technology because people, again, they want to be able to go in and watch a game and not be static. You know, the days of just, you know, sitting there and getting your hot dog and watching the game quietly, we don't have attention spans for that anymore, right? So we're going to be looking on the Jumbotron. We're going to be looking at what's happening on the sidelines and the end zones when there's breaks in the game, when it's halftime. And we're also looking for what kind of content are you giving me over my smartphone while I'm in the stadium? How do I keep up with stats, information, share it with friends, share my experience? Because going to a game is alive and well and thriving because it's one of those things people want today. They want more life experiences.
How closely do you work with teams to make the fan experience better during a game day? It sounds like you're pretty involved in that. Is that true?
Yeah, well, an interesting part of my job that I didn't fully appreciate when I joined was that part of the marketing organization is the events organization. And that organization is responsible for putting on Super Bowl, kickoff, Pro Bowl, draft. And so we really think about things through a lens of those events are national media events, but they're also local fan engagement events. And we learn what we can do to target different types and segments of our fans and then share that with the clubs. And in some cases, it's technology, whether it's an app, whether it's a way for people to, you know, ultimately use VR. So we're sharing, and we're very much in partnership with our clubs, because let's face it, the league is only as strong as its 32 teams, and that's what people root for, and that's where they go. I mean, we're one ecosystem. We can't be a league separate and independent from the clubs.
Dawn, are there two or three priorities you have as far as marketing the league and shaping its brand over the next year or so?
Yes. It would be, first and foremost, continuing to surprise and delight the fans with experiences, both on the ground as well as in our media, in our marketing, that really targets them. And what I mean by that is to realize that we have an enormously broad fan base. But that fan base experiences, roots for different teams, experiences football in different ways. If you're younger, your use of media is very different than if you're older. So it's how we do that, but in a very customized, targeted way. That would be a goal. Second goal is to make sure we tell the story of our journey in health and safety. We have made almost 40 rule changes in the last 10 years, and we're going to continue to make more. And I think every year we go out and say what rule changes we've made, and people sort of understand that and try to figure out, are the officials going to call things differently? But it's been a journey about how to make sure that we stay as exciting and active a sport as we can, but take the hits below the head to take the head out of the game. And I think we need to do a better job of telling people what we're doing to protect our players and how we're investing tens of millions of dollars with partners like GE and Under Armour to try to invent new helmets, new turf, new diagnostic systems to, again, help our players, because it's really important to us. And I think it's not only important for the football community at the professional level, but at the college level, at the youth level, and in fact will impact other contact sports. So that would be the second goal, to tell that story.
Let's broaden things out a little bit and talk about trends. You mentioned virtual reality, for example. What's the future of marketing in sports? What trends are out there that you can predict and you're looking at the most?
Okay, well, a broad trend in sports tends to be a trend period in marketing. Mm-hmm. But clearly, the use of multiple devices when you're watching sports is key to that experience today. So you're going to see a lot more leveraging of different content for the right time, the right place. So we're already on that journey, but all sports are on that journey.
Right.
I think sports is definitely about experience. It is entertainment. People today want more experiences in life. I mean, I'm trying to sell a house, and, people don't necessarily want a big house anymore. They want, a smaller house. It's not viewed as an investment, and they want to save money to have experiences.
Yeah.
So I think sports are part of that experience. And VR is clearly going to have an impact, and it's going to have an impact on the in-game experience, on the viewing experience. I think right now the technology is still in its infancy, because you can't quickly shoot something in VR and immediately share it with the fans. So
sure.
Halftime for Super Bowl, wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall under one of those pieces of equipment going out onto the field and then immediately share with the fan what it's like to be there, actually on the field experiencing it? But that will come. And when that real-time VR comes, you'll see a tremendous amount of applications of it. And also, frankly, it'll be at a high cost, and then the industry will work to get the cost down to make
right.
it as affordable as possible.
Yeah, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun for the fans. I think that's an important thing.
Totally fun. I mean, I don't know if you've worn any of them, but I haven't. I did not grow up playing football.
Right.
But I happened to go up to Dartmouth College, where I graduated from, and the coach there is very active in the use of VR to teach backup quarterbacks. So he let me put on the glasses, and all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of the field. I look behind me. I see the guys rushing at me. I see the pass. I look down the field. It was extraordinary. I mean, it was an experience I've never had, and I just can imagine that through a fan lens.
How far away are we from that, Dawn, do you think, with the league? Is it something you would do in the upcoming year if you could? Is it a year or two away? What's realistic?
Oh, I think what you're going to start to see is the league, what I'd say, dabbling in it, starting
okay.
to use it, starting to share it. But technology moves so quickly, I'd say that we're probably going to have broad-based use of it in a couple of years.
Yeah, that's neat. Again, we're joined today by the NFL's Chief Marketing Officer, Dawn Hudson's on the line. Dawn, when you look out across all sports or even other business segments, what brands impressed you today and why is that?
So I'm going to come at that answer in two ways. First of all, brands impress me that are large and successful and yet are able to reinvent themselves, to re-engage, constantly renew their fan base.
Right.
So I look at an Apple, and you could say they've not been the most classic marketer, but they've been around for a long time now, and they're still cool and on trend and modern and coming up with new things. And I think that will continue to be their struggle, by the way. Yeah. But I admire how they've been able to keep the brand current. I admire, this is a weird one, Old Spice.
Okay.
I admire Old Spice because it was a dead brand for old men. And they
yeah.
revitalized it and brought it back and made it something for youth, very much contemporary brand. And I think that that's part of what attracted me to the challenge of the NFL. It's big. It's been around a long time. It touches a lot of people. People are very engaged with it. But you still have to keep it fresh and reaching out to new generations. Then I also admire, and frankly, in some ways, think it's easier, startups who create something new and then overnight become a big brand. I mean, Uber wasn't even a word people talked about 5 years ago.
Sure.
And now it's a brand, and it's a brand that's realized what its liabilities are and how it has to change itself and continue to be personal and not ubiquitous and you know, make lives better and, you know, make transportation easier. So I admire brands that come out of nowhere and quickly become well-known.
Sure.
But I think that's honestly easier today
yeah.
than taking the big ones and refreshing them.
I agree with that. Dawn, let's go into the boardroom. What qualities can women bring to management, maybe qualities that you bring to management that maybe men can't?
I don't know if it's a male-female thing, but I believe, and I think there's a lot of studies that support, that when people have different experiences and different viewpoints, and yeah, it is gender, it's men and women, it's also race, but it's also whether you were born in a rural area or in an urban area, or whether you grew up internationally, whatever your experience is, you tend to look at things through a different lens, differently. And I think there's no question, I'd like to believe that on the issue we have with domestic violence, just having a female point of view, it was a different point of view, and it allowed not to say, go do what I say, but I'm going to give and offer a perspective that's going to cause other people to say, oh, that's interesting, what about this? And contributes to more full dialogue on any given issue or opportunity, and I think a better and potentially faster solution than if people that are all have the same amount of experience. So I think what I hope I've been able to bring and what I hope I continue to bring to the NFL is not only an experience as a female fan, but an experience of someone who did not grow up in sports and who looks at things through business lenses that, let's face it, sports are very popular. People get into sports, they stay in sports, and they love sports. But I think I can come with a set of experiences from outside sports that challenge us to, is there a different way we could do that?
Let's move on and talk a little bit about hiring. Dawn, as you put together a team of talent for a project or an event, and you're involved in events with the league, what do you look for in those people that surround you?
I look for intelligence combined with passion. I look for people who want to win, and not winning at all costs, but people that really want to have an impact and get something done. Because the nature of a league is that we are a community, including clubs. And it takes, versus other businesses I've worked in and with, it takes more different people in a building to make anything happen. You talk about doing something on the field of a football game. Well, you've got to cooperate with the clubs. You definitely have to cooperate with football operations. It's likely you have to cooperate with the IT organization. Sponsors are involved. You have to deal with sponsorship. Networks are involved. So it takes a very collaborative person, but a person that doesn't just make nice, do nice, but finds ways to drive to closure to get things done. And so people that do have that passion, that intellect, but that know how to apply it in a way that rallies people and leads them to getting something done. So one of the things I would look for is examples in their past where they might have done something that was really hard and how they did it. But I also would look to people, honestly, who maybe grew up playing sports, because I think the nature of team sports is it teaches you resilience, it teaches you teamwork, it teaches you focus on the end goal. And those skills, you know, readily translate to the business world.
I'm going to leave you, Dawn, and we appreciate your time this morning with one last question, see if you'll be a good sport. If a few years from now the owners come to you and say, Dawn, we're giving you Rogers' job, would you take it?
No.
No?
Well, first of all, that's not going to happen because the commissioner, it's a very tough job, and he's doing a really good job of it, and I don't see any reason why he's not going to be actively in that role for a long time to come. So that's a reality. But secondly, it is a 24/7 job, and it is a job you need to commit to for many, many years, as the commissioner today currently does. And you know, my husband's retired, and family circumstance are just not the time in my career where I would make that type of a long-term, more than 24/7 commitment. Not that this job I have now isn't to a degree 24/7, but when you compare it to a commissioner's role, it seems quite easy.
Would you support a woman like Condi Rice, for example, if she wanted to become commissioner of Major League Baseball? Would you support a woman in that role? Do you think could do it?
Yeah, certainly. I don't think it's about gender at all. I think it's about people's experience and what they bring to bear on it, and their willingness to serve for, you know, an extended long period of time in a very round the clock capacity.
All right. Well, listen, there you have it. Again, our thanks to Dawn Hudson for being our guest. Dawn, we'll see you in Miami. We appreciate your time, and we thank all of you for listening. Have a great day.
This has been the latest episode of ASI's Strategy Session Podcast. To listen to all of our podcasts, go to asicentral.com/podcast.